Lancaster Baptist Podcast features the dynamic preaching and teaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, the senior pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church. The purpose of this podcast is to help others love God, grow together through the teaching of God's Word, and serve others in the name of Jesus Christ.
Let's turn to Ephesians 6 and let's stand together for our scripture reading tonight. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20 for our scripture reading. And we just heard a wonderful song on prayer, and we're going to study prayer tonight as we begin our Bible reading in Ephesians 6 and beginning in verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank you for a midweek service to learn from the Word of God and then to practice what we're learning tonight in prayer. I ask tonight that you, Lord, would be honored and glorified in this time that we have together. We confess to you, Lord, that we're weak and needy, and Father, we pray and thank you that you're a merciful God tonight who hears and answers prayer. So we ask that you would teach us more about prayer and then help us to go to the throne in just a moment and bring our petitions before you. And I ask and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. One of the most challenging times in our 25 years of ministry was back when we started the North Auditorium Project. And we had prayed for quite some time. We had purchased the first 20 acres, and then we had started the project in those early days, just hiring a contractor and getting underway. And as we just got underway, some of you have heard the stories about the El Nino season coming in and how the rain just came down week after week after week. We had a giant swimming pool over there about 16 feet deep. And then finally the rain stopped and we started the construction. And as the construction got going, our contractor went bankrupt and his foreman was mad because he wasn't getting paid. And so he took our approved drawings and went out of state. We had to contact law enforcement officials to retrieve our plans back. And once we got them back, we really didn't know what to do. We didn't have a contractor. Our loan had fallen apart because the contractor had left. And so that's when I learned what it meant to become a construction manager. And Brother Hartzell joined the church shortly after that, and he began to help me understand some things. And we got back into the good graces of a company that helped us with a loan. And I remember coming out some days, instead of studying for Bible study, I'd come out and try to keep the plumber and the framer from having a fight, you know, and try to get all that stuff straightened up. And slowly but surely, we got through that building. But it was early on in some of those trials that I realized I am in way over my head on this one. In fact, we hadn't even read what's called the conditional use permit. I just got excited about the word permit and focused on that. I try to be an optimistic person. But the conditions were apparently important. I found that out later. Our conditions on the north building included paving all around the north building, putting 16 street lights around the north building, widening Lancaster Boulevard, widening 40th Street East. The conditions came out to about $1 million worth of stuff we just didn't really look at. We just were going to build the building. And I'm telling you what, I started reading some of that fine print. Brother Hartzell educated me about you know, conditional use types of things. And so we got into some of those times and I realized, wow, I am in way over my head. How many of you have gotten into something in your life and you realize this is bigger than I am? You ever been there? All of us have been there a time or two, haven't we? By the way, Brother Schmidt had his last treatment today. And Brother Schmidt, just so good to see him up here on the front row in church tonight. And I know he's felt that way many times the last few months, that this is bigger than me, Lord. This is much bigger than me. And so the Lord put on my heart that it would be vital, it would be necessary. It was his will that since we were in way over our heads, we better come to him in prayer like we had never come to him in prayer before. And during the process of getting ready for that building, I remember a company coming in, and we had salespeople coming by with all kinds of things, baptistries, carpet, lighting, so forth. And one day a man came by from the pew company. They were selling church pews, and so he had a little sample pew that he wanted to leave with me. It was just like a one-seater pew, you know, just a small little cutout and something they would take around to show the quality of the wood and so forth. And so he said, here's a sample, we'll leave it with you. And I called him up a few days later. I said, I was wondering, can I keep this pew? Now, I learned early on that they're in a giving mood before you sign the contract. So get everything you can get while they're wanting you to sign that contract. So he said, sure, you can have it, no problem. And the Lord had put on my heart that that pew would become what we called the prayer pew. And we put that pew right out in the middle of that building, right on that newly poured concrete. We strapped it with some kind of wire to a metal upright beam. And I just said to our church family, I said, now, we're in way over our heads financially, construction management, wisdom-wise. I mean, just all of it's bigger than us. And so I'm going to ask everyone who can just to take some time, and we'll try to keep the construction stuff away from where we'll keep that pew located in safe zones. But if you could come by and just take 5 or 10 minutes and pray that God would help us through this project. And that began one of the greatest journeys of prayer that I can ever remember in my life. And I remember lots of times pulling up when the sun had not yet come up and my lights would go in through that open area, in through the concrete windows, the windows that had been placed in the concrete, and you'd see the shadow of men before they went to Northrop or Boeing or before they went out to the base or went down below. They were coming by and they were praying at that bench. And we had them sign their name in and their time. And I mean 24 hours a day, people were praying that God would provide for that north building to be built. Well, the rest is history, and God provided in a great way, and we saw it built and dedicated and filled up right away. And I truly believe as we look back over these past 25 years that all of the great victories have been prayer victories, that it's been God answering prayer and the faith of His people. Now, if the Apostle Paul was an expert at anything, he was an expert at spiritual battle. And you know, when you come to the subject of spiritual warfare, you want to hear and learn from someone who's fought a few battles before. I mean, if I was going to go to Marine boot camp, I'd like to hear from one of these guys that had already been over to Iraq or Kuwait, or, you know, he had been in Vietnam back in the day. And I'd want somebody who'd been through it once to tell me how to get through it. I don't know about you. I wouldn't want some, you know, green recruit trying to tell me. But I want to hear from someone with some field experience. Well, that's what the Apostle Paul was, not only inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, but as an apostle, he was trying to help this church at Ephesus to let them know you're going to have some things way bigger than you come along, and it's going to be mighty warfare, and I'm going to tell you how to win that warfare. And he gave them their armament, but then he gives to them this resource that is given to us tonight, and he shows them that it would only be by prayer that the real victories would be won. William Cowper, sometimes I've heard it pronounced William Cooper, was the man that wrote, "There is a fountain filled with blood." And I had the privilege of visiting his home a few years ago, and I guess about 90 miles north of London. And there in the little village of Olney where he lived, William Cowper was known as a man that was weak and frail. I told you his story several months ago. His father had just put him into a boys' home. His mother had died at an early age. And some historians believe maybe he was even abused or beaten in that home and developed a lot of psychological and physical ailments. But through all of his trials, he became one of the great hymn writers and poets and was a friend of John Newton. And they would write poems together in their garden. But one of the things that William Cowper wrote, just a simple phrase that really touches me about prayer, he said, "Satan trembles when he sees the weakest Christian on his knees." Now, I don't know about you, but some days I don't feel like the strongest. Sometimes I feel like I might be one of the weaker Christians. You ever feel that way, just to be honest about it? And yet, Cowper, who no doubt felt like a weak Christian, no doubt he was a weaker person in his constitution, yet he said, "Satan trembles when he sees the weakest Christian on his knees. And sometimes I think Christians, I think we get this idea, you know, I haven't read my Bible like I should. I haven't had anybody saved in a while, or I haven't been able to do certain things that other people do. So why even bother praying? And I want to tell you, that's the exact opposite attitude that we should have towards prayer. Because prayer has never been based on how long you've been saved, how much you know, and so forth. It's always been based on the grace of God. Come boldly to the throne of what? Grace. And so tonight, I want us to just take a few moments to think about this challenge that the apostle was sending over to the Christians at Ephesus, dominated by the Roman government, wickedness everywhere, Christians were in the minority. What were they going to do if they were going to win the victory? Let's notice tonight this lesson from the apostle very quickly. First of all, I want you to see in your outline the practice of prayer. He admonishes them to the practice of prayer, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now, the practice of prayer, sometimes people envision monks with hoods walking around. Sometimes other figures come to people's mind. We have prayer meeting at this church now on Saturday morning, a special prayer meeting for the men, 8:45. It's a great time, and we enjoy that. We have prayer multiple times a day, different meetings here at the church with our pastoral staff and others. And we had prayer today with the committee for the anniversary and leadership conference. And certainly all of us should have prayer in our homes and with our families. But look at what it says here in this verse. It says praying, and notice this word, always. So if you would, letter A, pray earnestly. God says, I want you to pray earnestly. I want you to pray constantly. Lehman Strauss said, the enemy watches for prayerlessness in our lives and then takes advantage of us. We must be constantly in prayer because we are constantly in danger. Constantly in prayer because we are constantly in danger. And so oftentimes, like little deer or rabbit that doesn't know there's a mountain lion around the corner, I want you to just realize tonight that the devil is constantly seeking whom he may devour. And so praying earnestly is such a vital practice in the Christian life. And it may be that you just sense a moment of weakness. It may be you sense a moment of discouragement. God brings someone or something to your mind. Isn't it a blessing that just right there you can take it to the Lord in prayer? And so he says, praying always, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Someone asked years ago, is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? Is prayer your steering wheel? In other words, just kind of a constant aspect of your spiritual life. Or is prayer that thing you've got to get out when you break down? And God's admonishing us here, pray constantly. Just be in the mode of prayer constantly. We say oftentimes that we're too busy to pray. But think about the Lord. The Lord was busier than all of us, but he took time to get apart into a desert place. He took time to pray, and so pray earnestly. Secondly, God's word teaches us tonight, pray effectively. Now, how do we do that? Verse 18, it says here, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now, with all implies praying on all occasions, under every condition. I believe it implies also different types of prayer, intercessory prayer, supplication in prayer, but praying with all prayer and supplication. Notice in your notes, 1 Timothy 2:1, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and the giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. So look at those three words that are listed there. First of all, he says, I want you, in verse number 18, praying always with all prayer. Prayer. John R. Rice said, prayer is simply asking God. And certainly that's the great impetus in prayer, asking, seeking His face, Matthew 7:7. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. So prayer is asking and seeking the face of God. And then notice the second word there is supplication. Again, this word means entreating or petitioning God for our needs and the needs of others. Entreating or petitioning God for our needs and the needs of others. Now, how many of you have noticed that When your children want something, they are experts at repeating what they want, right? They're experts at repeating what they want. We have in our backyard a little pool that we got for our grandson, Camden. It's just one of these little plastic pools. And Camden, he doesn't say water yet, but he says wadu. That's how he says it all the time. And when he gets in his mind that he wants to go out and play, you can hear that little fella. I mean, he just goes around the house asking everybody, wadu, 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 and sounds sort of like a tribal Indian running around out there or something, you know. And you know he wants to get out in the water. And so he asks effectively because he asks with constant supplication. God says, if you have something that you need, I want to hear from you. As a child would let that request be made known. Then notice he says prayer and supplication. And here's, I believe, the key phrase, in the Spirit. Would you say that with me, please? In the Spirit. One more time.
In the Spirit.
Now, the Bible teaches us in many passages, Galatians 5 in particular, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We have tried to emphasize for 25 years, not just a list of how to walk, but we have tried to emphasize walking in the Spirit. Because instead of memorizing the fruit of the Spirit and saying, Lord, I've got to be joyful today. I've got to have peace today. I've got to have long-suffering today. I've just got to remember that today. Whoops, I wasn't long-suffering enough. Oh, man, I didn't have joy. Ah, I didn't have joy today. And trying to just, through a list, be regulated. The truth is that when we are filled with the Spirit, then the fruit of the Spirit is manifested, right? And so we are to walk in the Spirit. But here we are told to pray in the Spirit. Charles Spurgeon said, prayer is an art which only the Spirit can teach us. He is the giver of all prayer. And just as in every other part of the Christian life, you can either live that Christian life in the flesh or in the Spirit. Isn't it something to think of this thought? It's possible then to pray in the flesh. Praying in the flesh, praying rapidly without thought, praying in a showy manner for the impression of other people, praying without even really considering the will of God in the matter. You can pray in the flesh. It's amazing. You can do a lot of spiritual, outwardly spiritual activities, but not really be filled with the Spirit. And so God says, I want you to pray effectively, and that means yield yourself to the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it means just taking a deep breath, putting other things out of your mind, and really then asking the Lord to lead and guide you as you're about to pray. That you would pray according to His will. Now let me give you the key passage on that. Romans chapter 8. Notice what it says. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So when the Holy Spirit is assisting us in prayer, even when we don't really know how we ought to pray, then as in every other part of our life, if we seek His guidance, He provides that guidance and He helps us to pray according to His will. Sometimes He'll restrain us from asking for things that in our flesh we would have thought was the best. Sometimes He'll bring us to a point of fuller surrender because we're praying for something with an agenda in mind, and yet God will guide us into His will through prayer. So the practice of prayer, Paul says, I want you to pray earnestly, I want you to pray effectively, and that's going to include praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now very quickly, let's look tonight, secondly, at the persistence of prayer. The persistence of prayer. We've already touched on this briefly, but let's look at just a little more in depth. Verse 18, it says, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now let's just break this apart. Letter A, I want you to see, pray with expectancy. God says, I want you to pray with expectancy. Notice the phrase, watching thereunto. Watching, meaning a state of vigilancy. A vigilance, meaning a state of expectancy. God says, look, don't pray in some dutiful, monotonous, repetitive way, just kind of saying what you have to say. But he says, I want you to pray watchingly. I want you to be expecting me to intervene. Would be to God that we would have some people in this church who would pray for revival expectantly. God, I'm expecting and believing that you'll bring revival. And I'm watching unto this matter. I'm expecting you to do something great. 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. And I know that God is sovereign in the affairs of men. And I know that sometimes we pray certain ways and not knowing his sovereign will, the outcome is different than we would have written. But I believe this tonight, that God is looking for Christians who will pray for his glory, pray according to his will, which is that his son would be glorified. And when we pray for the glorification of his son in the answered prayer, then we ought to pray fervently, and we ought to pray expecting that God will do something great and something mighty for his glory. So when we pray tonight, even for this coming Sunday morning, and when we pray for this conference, let's pray expectingly. Let's pray that God will do something great, believing that he will. Then secondly, let's pray with perseverance or endurance. Notice it says there in verse 18, with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. So here we see that this matter of prayer is a matter of expectancy. We're watching, but it's a matter of endurance because we're praying with perseverance. Luke 18:1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Ought always to pray. I tell you what, I know a lot of you men commute, and I'm always encouraged by faithful commuters. We've had Commuter Sunday and things of this nature. And I always try to exhort our commuters with different ways to just make the most of their commute. And I believe one of the best things a commuter can do is get the Bible on CD and hear the Bible. Another great thing is godly Christian music. But did you know another thing that commuters have time to do is to pray? Now again, as I always say, pray with your eyes open. Okay? But pray. Sometimes just being alone in a car can be good time with God. And sometimes it's going to be driving out to a special place in the desert or into a special place in your home. And there ought to be a place each morning where you just meet with God. But find that place and then pray with perseverance. And bring this to the Lord persistently. The practice of prayer in verse 18 is all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. The persistency of prayer is that we're watchful and persevering in our prayer. And then let's notice thirdly tonight, the people of prayer. The people of prayer. Verse 18, once again. Notice it says here, and supplication for all saints. Let's say that together. And supplication. Now the Roman Catholics miss this verse. They pray to all the saints, all right? First of all, we don't have saints up on the wall tonight. And secondly, we wouldn't pray to a saint like that. The Bible says that all of the redeemed are saints. They're set apart as unto the Lord. It's not a matter of some body of people voting someone in to be a saint. And thank the Lord for that. So when it says saints, it's not talking about ancient so-called church father. It's talking about all of the saints, and in this context, at Ephesus, the Christians at Ephesus, and they were here and there. They were spread about that particular locale. Sometimes they identified them with themselves with the sign of the fish, sometimes with the sign of a cross. Right as you would walk into the threshold of their ancient homes, you'll still see those markings today. And they were not ashamed to identify themselves as Christians. They were paying a price for being Christians. And Paul says, I want you to pray for the saints. And notice what he says there, praying for the saints. He says in verse 19, and for me that utterance may be given unto, and notice that utterance may be given unto me. Now I'm always, always convicted when I see this verse. Paul says, pray for all the saints and let's pray for one another. That's why we have a prayer list on Wednesday nights. So we can pray specifically. That's why we have our missionary prayer list. And then he says, and pray for me. And I think I said this to our church last Sunday night. Even in this case, I would say, as I preach on Sunday and Monday night and each day next week, I covet the prayers of this church family. And I don't hesitate to say, pray for me. Listen, I've not arrived. I'm not to the place where I just dial it in and boy, it's just a great sermon every single time. I need God's power and God's help every single time I open the Word of God. And I ask our church tonight, when you pray, I ask you to pray for my strength, for God's anointing on my life, for clear recollection of things that I need to announce, the grace to be a host that I need to be, for the grace to be the pastor that I need to be, and all of these types of things. Paul said, pray, and he's asking for prayer for the power of God. Notice what he says there, that utterance may be given unto me, you see. This matter of uttering the gospel is requiring of us that we would have God's power on our life. That's why before we ever go out soul winning, we always pray before we leave. That's why when we pull up sometimes in front of a house, we pray again. That's why as I walk up to a door, I'm praying again. Now, we were out soul winning. Brother Furso, he gives me the roughest neighborhoods. I'm telling you right now. And I think he just wants me to have a better prayer life or something. I'm not sure. But man, he gave me a rough neighborhood recently. And I'm telling you what, there were dogs everywhere in that neighborhood. And Brother Whitman was with me. And one of them was like a little chihuahua. I said, Brother Whitman, you take care of that one. So he's trying karate and stuff on him and so forth. And we had some other things. But the fact of the matter is that when I'm going out door knocking, oftentimes, even as I'm walking up to a door, I'm just praying. Not just for protection, but I'm praying, Lord, would you open someone's heart here today? And I'll tell you, there's people everywhere. I witnessed this week, one man had just gotten out of jail, and Brother Guy and I were witnessing to him, and he was very close. He just was so confused from some things, and I was praying, Lord, help me with him. Another lady, 83 years old, sharp as a tack. I mean, sharp as a tack. Sharp mind. And good, a good lady. She said to me, she said, because I was telling her that all have sinned. She said, I cannot ever remember sinning. I thought, wow. And then she said something I'll never forget. She said, well, I do remember one time. I thought, oh, good, because I was trying to help her see why she needed a Savior, And she said, back during World War II, I thought to myself, if I could kill Hitler, I would. She had to go back a long way to remember the last time she sinned, But I was praying, Lord, help me to have the right verse, the right thing to say. You pray for Dorothy. I'm going to go back and talk to her. But we need God's power and wisdom as we witness and as we teach and as we talk to a teenager who's looking dumb and not seeming to understand what we're saying. We need the power of God when we talk to people. And that's what Paul's saying. He's saying, pray that I will have utterance, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. And I don't think that means stupidly. I don't think you take a day even like this Sunday. We'll have so many guests and so many of our elected officials and so forth. We're not trying to prove a point or push an issue, but I'll tell you one thing we're not going to do. We're not going to compromise the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we want to pray that everybody has the chance to get saved this Sunday morning. So we pray for power. And the other thing we pray for is we pray for protection. We pray for protection. Luke 21:36. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. So we want to pray for the saints, okay? Who are we going to pray for? Pray for Pastor. Pray for Brother Smith and Brother Guy and pastoral staff, and pray for one another, and pray for the ushers. Pray for the choir as they sing. Pray for those that would give narration. Pray for the pianist as they play. Pray for the orchestra. Pray for the nursery workers. Pray for the parking lot attendants. Pray for the deputies that are out doing off-site traffic control. Pray for the guest preachers. Pray for the guest soloists. Pray for all of those saints that will come to your mind. And then let's finally pray for the sinners. Let's pray for the sinners. Verse 19 once again. For which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now he wanted utterance because he was an ambassador, not just to all the Christians. He was an ambassador to those who needed to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. J. Sidlow Baxter said, men may spurn our appeals. They may reject our message. They may oppose our arguments. They may despise our persons, but they are helpless against our prayers. And that's why when you write the letter and email and phone call, and some of you that have a little time should do all three to Governor Brown, every time you write, you pray while you write. God, this piece of paper is going to mean nothing to him, but I pray that your Holy Spirit will so convict his heart that there is still a God in heaven, there is still right and wrong. And you see, prayer makes the difference, you see. And sometimes that's the ingredient that we leave out. And so I say to you tonight, we need the power of God to fight spiritual warfare as never before. But we will not have that power, we will not have that victory without his anointing and without prayer. And so the practice of prayer, with all prayer and supplication, in the Spirit, the persistence of prayer, watching with all perseverance and diligent in our prayers, and the people of prayer tonight. Hey, let's pray for one another, and let's pray for souls to be saved in the next 25 years through the ministry of the Lancaster Baptist Church.
Let me remind you that you can receive a daily devotional by logging on at dailyintheword.org. If you'd like more Bible study materials, you can also visit strivingtogether.com. Anything we can do to help and encourage you in the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, we would count that as a great honor. God bless you.